The 161-year-old treaty is a short, simple document. You can read it twice before this story is over. In plain language, the Ojibwe yield to the U.S. government a big chunk of what's now eastern Minnesota and northwest Wisconsin. In return, the government provides cash, tobacco, blacksmithing tools, and the right to hunt and fish unrestricted on the territory in question. Mille Lacs Band Natural Resources Commissioner Don Wadle says that simple contract is what the last 7.5 years have been all about.
The real fundamental principle is, I think, is that here's an agreement. And there may be some benefits to the tribe now and in the future, and they should be allowed to have those. That's what was agreed to.
So how did such a short document turn into such a long fight? Well, in 1850, President Zachary Taylor revoked tribal hunting and fishing rights. Around 1900, early white tourists found abundant large walleyes in a pristine Mille Lacs lake. By 1990, resorts, fishing guides, and restaurants had made Mille Lacs the most popular fishery in the state, with an annual economy of $50 million. That year, the band filed suit to get its rights back. Local tourism operators were furious. Resorters, like Joe Carpin, wondered how long their hook-and-line customers would stay, once forced to compete against natives with spears and 100-foot gill nets.
Everything I've owned has went into the resort. That's been my dream. And this comes along, and it destroys your dream. And I'm not going to take it laying down.
By April of 92, fear that the Ojibwe might regain their treaty rights had spread. In what's remembered as a bitter symbol of the dispute, members of the Minnesota Hunting and Angling Club rallied at the Capitol. Former Vikings coach Bud Grant spoke for the sportsmen. He's confronted here by Ojibwe Leonard Thompson.
Basically interested in what our government is doing to protect our resources.
What about the American resources? Okay. What about the treaty that's been broken? Make a treaty, break a treaty. Is that it? We have this right. We have this right. Yes, we do.
Wait a minute now. Let him have his say. Let him have his say.
How many treaties been broken? Can you tell me that?
This man is under the influence.
No, I'm under the influence now, huh?
The Hunting and Angling Club claimed to represent the average Minnesota outdoorsman, the blue-collar Mille Lacs enthusiast with a Lund boat and a couple free weekends a summer. Club members said, above all, they didn't want their government negotiating away their favorite lake. Ironically, a lot of band members felt the same way.
Okay, pack yourself a lunch. Might be a long night. We might be out there till morning.
Shortly after the Capitol rally, a few dozen Ojibwe gathered with spears and flashlights near Mille Lacs. At this time, band and state officials were trying to reach a settlement, a compromise, including cash for the band and a small native-only fishing zone on Lake Mille Lacs. Determined that the treaty rights be tested in court, not diminished by compromise, this group set out to spear some fish and get themselves arrested.
Is the tribal government mad at me? Probably. Are the white protesters mad at me? Probably. Are the old people that I bring the fish to mad at me? No.
9 Ojibwe were cited for illegal spearing. Much later, the settlement agreed on by the state and band failed for lack of support in the Minnesota legislature. The crumbled compromise disappointed band and state officials who'd worked for months to craft the agreement, but it delighted native traditionalists and the Hunting and Angling Club. Both sides wanted all or nothing. Both sides knew they could win in court.
The fish in the lake are the only reason that the people come up here.
In 1993, 6 landowners and 9 counties in the ceded area joined the state's case against the band. Lake homeowner Bill Thompson argued unbridled native fishing would destroy property values and the local economy.
It's quite simple. If the county goes broke, if the tourism industry up here dies, somewhere along the line, the taxes have to be made up. I can see no other way of doing it except levying the taxes, raising the taxes. Someone has to make it up.
The landowners were supported in the case by a new group called Proper Economic Resource Management, or PERM. PERM raised hundreds of thousands of dollars to pay the landowners' legal bills as the trial approached. Meantime, acrimony between the sides increased. Perm attacked not only the lawsuit, but the whole concept of Native sovereignty. The Ojibwe retaliated with charges of racism. In 1994, the band won Phase 1 of the trial in U.S. District Court. 1837 treaty rights, the court said, still existed in the lands yielded to the U.S. government. That victory in hand, the Mille Lacs Band found itself joined by six Wisconsin Ojibwe tribes for Phase 2, in which the Ojibwe would set their own hunting and fishing rules within court guidelines. The specter of not only the Mille Lacs, but thousands more natives coming to net and spear fish sparked more complaints from non-Indian groups, and this response from Band Natural Resources Commissioner Don Wadle.
There may be individuals who think that this is not good and, gee, I don't like this and I don't think it's fair and all this. The fairness of it has long since been determined.
Phase 2 of the trial ended early last year. Again, the band got most of what it sought, including 40,000 pounds of walleye from Lake Mille Lacs the first year of harvest. Dreading the sort of violence that occurred against Wisconsin spearfishers a decade ago, Governor Arne Carlson made a televised appeal for cool-headedness, and the legislature set aside $6 million for extra law enforcement around the lake. Residents like Sandy Jellum had to brace for the worst, and they resented it.
I mean, I work two jobs, 60 hours a week, just to survive. I have nothing, just to survive. And then my tax dollars going out for stuff like this.
But the violence never came. Just days before the start of the Ojibwe harvest, a federal appeals court delayed tribal fishing until late summer. The Mille Lacs Band took a small, ceremonial harvest, regrouped, and prepared for spring of 98. As far as the bands are concerned, the dispute is over. The 1837 treaty is law.
I didn't do it!
But at meetings of PERM, like this recent one in Foley, where hundreds of anglers paid $25 for a meal and a Bud Grant speech, the battle goes on. With all other avenues exhausted, PERM is waiting for the Supreme Court to decide whether it will review the decision upholding the treaty. Chances are slight the Supreme Court will do so, but there's a zeal at this meeting that makes the most of any chance at all. Bud Grant.
We knew when we started this that this was going to end up in the Supreme Court. This is where we were headed. We are finally there. Now we'll see what happens.
The Supreme Court is expected to decide whether to look at the Mille Lacs case by the end of June. This is Leif Enger, Main Street Radio.